percentages. That's direct upwards. We've got a 99.7%. Chair, in relation to the IT governance audit queries and impact, Chair, we can indicate progress has been made, and this will come through particularly in relation to the audit, the AG audit that has been completed, and we've submitted that document. So some of the points that are there, you'll note, were addressed. We're not where we want to be, and some of the issues in relation to that will be does form part of the annual audit report. Chair, on the progress, there has been progress made in reducing the vacancy rate, and middle management positions have been filled. There are 6 SMS vacancies which have been prioritized for filling, and this will happen within the next 6 weeks in terms of approvals from both DG and Minister. Chair, we've also have got a performance management system which has been put in place to ensure that all SMS members submit their agreements, their performance agreements on time. So this gives, I think, particularly in relation to the portfolio committee, it's an issue that has been raised around the question of performance and whether or not there's sufficient control and oversight from the DG. Chair, the last point, and that's something that the CFO will also comment on, internal controls have been improved to ensure that payable invoices and valid invoices are paid within 30 days. That's within the national sphere. Chair, there are mechanisms that we've put in place in terms of the reporting mechanism to both Minister and DG in relation to the provinces, because that's a bigger area that particularly comes to the attention of the committee and the committee members. Chair, in relation to matters related to policy planning and IGR targets, Chair, we have indicated that we facilitated the provincial municipal development plans for both the HSDG and the USDG with the MTSF priorities and outcomes. Chair, just to indicate on that issue, Chair, as per request of the portfolio committee, we've taken a hands-on approach. So the absence of Mr. Leshabane today is due to the fact that he's mediating between Etiquini and the province in relation to issues of the gazetting and the transferring, because you'll know that there's a substantial amount of money that's outstanding from the province to the Etiquini. So what we are doing is we're enforcing the intergovernmental contracting. We're doing the same for Buffalo City. We're doing the same for Nelson Mandela, as well as City of Joburg and Tswane. So that's the Chair, we can also indicate in relation to the alignment of the provincial municipal development plans for both the HSDG and the USDG, the two metros that did underperform, you will see that in the closure as at 30th June, there was a substantial improvement by Ekurhuleni as well as the city of Cape Town. The coordination with sector departments contributing to human settlements development has been strengthened with IGR contracting for better outcomes. Chair, I think just to indicate that the DG has been appointed to coordinate and manage the technical team on basic services by COFTA, by the Minister of COFTA. So that is one indication of the ability for us, together with COFTA, water and sanitation, environmental affairs, rural development, particularly in relation to getting sector departments to get that. So it's a substantial amount of work that's been done, but I think it's important that we raise that. Chair, just on the processing of the human settlements legislation, as indicated by the DG, The Property Practitioners Bill and the Schlamder Amendment Bill was gazetted for public comment in the Government Gazette on 31 March 2017 under the notice as indicated for a period of 30 days. During this process, the Department received the written submissions from the public and interest parties. We also then held information sessions on the 20th of June 2017 to 6th of July in all 9 provinces. It was managed by myself together with Mr. Gianna, who's the responsible DDG for IGR. We have incorporated those comments into the bills and the process to have cabinet approval endorsement for introduction to Parliament as comments, and hopefully, Chair, we'll be able to do that within the next 4 weeks, as so that we can commence, so that this committee can commence in relation to both of them. The transformation targets that give just an indication, Chair, in relation to the number of youth, women and officials in the subsidy gap and market trained in human settled skills development plan. Chair, we can also confirm that the department on point number 2, that we have partnered with SAGA as part of their capacitation program for local councillors. So we have formed part of that. In fact, as a department, we have contributed to the resourcing and the rollout of that program. And then we've got 335 university and TVET colleges, the students supported on various programs, and this includes artisan programs. Chair, just on the Human Settlements Development Bank establishment, the business case has been approved, has been prepared and is awaiting approval. Chair, the draft legislation has been completed and will be as in the process of being taken through the socioeconomic impact assessment for introduction to cabinet, and we're hoping to fast track this, Chair, so that we can introduce it to Parliament during the course of perhaps maybe towards the end of October, all things being equal. Chair, this is where things get a bit difficult. The military veterans, Chair, as you know, that between ourselves and the Department of Military Veterans, we agreed that for this financial year, there will be a total of 1,421 non-statutory, I must just emphasize this, non-statutory military veterans who will be provided with homes. To date, we've had on our subsidy system 1,376. The performance to date across all provinces is that of that 1,421, 111 homes have been provided or allocated to military veterans. And you'll see that the two provinces that or the three provinces that stand out there is the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape, with the other provinces not in many respects being very much counting, not something that we can say that we're happy about. Chair, just to indicate, and I think it's important for the Portfolio Committee, given the importance of this program, the challenges regarding the military veterans program is there was no activity in 5 provinces. This was the Free State, KZN, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and Northwest. There is a slow or lack of uptake on the BNG option by the South African Military Veterans Association. And it's a duality, Chair, between, and I think it's just important to note, it's not entirely the provinces, they're not entirely solely responsible. There's an issue of negotiation, there's an issue of of uptake between themselves together with the with Samva representing the non-statutory. I think it's important to note, Chair, that in the previous years there was a whole range of homes provided to statutory military vets, and that sometimes distorted what we were doing. Delays in contractor appointment, the lack of uniformity in the implementation of the project. Chair, we also note that both the Free State together with Limpopo continually are expanding beyond the guidelines. Provinces not applying authorized overrides to fast track allocation. Chair, both Minister and DG have applied the issue that we can override approvals specifically in relation to military vets, given the fact that sometimes they were not approved because of a whole range of issues which prevented them. But we've managed to do that, but the provinces are not applying those. Chair, there's also been reported by the provinces that beneficiaries or military vets not opting for BNG units in the current running projects. Chair, what was suggested and what was directed is that where there are circumstances of military veterans, non-statutory military veterans in extremely dire situations, that the provinces offer those military veterans BNG units in existing projects, and that's been something that there hasn't been acceptance or agreement on. And then the provinces have not established the provincial steering committee. The corrective measures that we have taken, Chair, as the department, we've taken on the responsibility, particularly in relation to the negotiation, I think it must say, the negotiation of settlement of military veterans who have outstanding mortgage bonds within and below the 188,000, and other cases to be dealt with are being fast-tracked. Chair, as the department, we can indicate that across the country we've managed to, during the period, settle 70. So 70 military veterans with bonds below that value, we've managed to so they will get title. The beneficiation of military veterans-owned companies have been registered with the provincial supply chain management. And this is particularly in relation to meet the 30% target as per the Treasury regulations on military veterans. The establishment of service centres in provinces, especially those provinces where there are no call centres to deal with military veterans issues. It's just a whole range of issues given the complexity of that. All approved housing human settlements projects implemented in the provinces will have 10% military veterans. So even once the 1421 is completed, on an as and when required basis, we've issued that, and then we've issued the directive for all provinces to adhere to the 50 square meter regulated business building structure. Chair, we can confirm that just to resolve this issue, because I think the one issue that we've got a national task team appointed by Minister. There's a military veterans to build. We've initiated a duality, so where there are situations where military veterans want to utilize the people's housing process, that is able to do that. We're also fast-tracking the appointment of a IT service provider to assist with the enrollment and verification of military veterans. And then we've also implemented the circular which overrides. Chair, just on the MTSF-based delivery targets, 47 catalytic projects have been approved for implementations. The mining towns have been provided with human settlements intervention support, and that includes the formalization and full services. As part of the DORA, which came into effect on the 1st of April, 899 million has been ring-fenced for informal settlement upgrading and human settlements delivery in mining towns, given the pressures in those For the period ending June 2017, a total number of 1,594 sites and 579 units have been completed. So, Chair, just to indicate in relation to the APP targets in the department's annual performance plan, we've taken the liberty to indicate this is what the annual target is and then the actual performance. So we set ourselves in the first quarterly targets in relation to informal settlement upgrading. We asked for 75 informal settlements. Upgrading plans to be developed. Chair, we can confirm that 87 were done. Then in relation to households in informal settlements upgraded, Chair, the target was 37,500 for the quarter, and as members you'll see that out of the USDG we managed 5,747, and out of the USDG we managed 19,383. So we've marked that in yellow. In relation to the quarterly target, in relation to individual units out of the HSDG, that's 13,000, and we'll outline that So in relation to affordable rental, social housing units, as well as community residential, you'll see that we've marked it in amber because we don't think that the performance has been satisfactory. The two that are red, in terms of where we've put up the warning bells, is the target for pre and post 1994 title deeds issued. For the quarter, we set the target of 49,000. The actual performance was 10,451. And then 93,200 title deeds for new subsidized houses issued. We had set the target of 23,300, and the target there was 4,896. Chair, just an indication, a graphical illustration of where our MTSF targets are. We should be at 355. We are sitting at 303. Chair, just in relation to the delivery performance for quarter one, which is April to June 2017, in terms of service sites, the target that we set in total was 15,320. We only managed to achieve 5,747. In relation to targets, it is 29,116, but we only managed 13,000. Chair, I mean, as I think indicated, this does not represent a good picture, and there are substantial amount of measures. If you want to look at in terms of percentages, the Eastern Cape, they're not too bad, so they're just 1% of what they would have been able to achieve. In relation to the Free State, the estimated target was 2,957. They only managed 487. Gauteng, they were 81%. The only provinces, Chair, which we can, and having gone through this and interrogated it, Chair, we can indicate the Eastern Cape, KZN, Western Cape, and the Northern Cape. So I'm just going to take those three. In relation to the Eastern Cape, KZN, the Northern Cape, and the Western Cape, we've gone back, interrogated their cash flows together with their work in progress. So we can indicate, Chair, that those four provinces are not a cause for concern. The cause for concern, and on the basis of an intervention that we now agreed with the DG minister as well as Minmec, is the Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, and Northwest. So those are the four provinces where, particularly in relation to determining what the value for money would be. Chair, this slide basically is a repeat, particularly in relation to the estimated targets and the balance of the year end. Chair, I think in the concluding slide you will see that we've suggested a few what we think is radical and measures that must be taken, because we will all fall short, and we've indicated that the first quarter must be that quarter where we agree that action will be taken to reallocate or reassign monies to be able to achieve what we want to be able to. And I think, Chair, just to be fair, if you look at the Eastern Cape, if you look at KZN, if you look at the Western Cape, and to a certain extent, Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape, they've recovered, and we can say with confidence that we're prepared to put our professional reputations at these provinces. So it's the Eastern Cape. I'll sure repeat it: the Eastern Cape, KZN, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and the Western Cape. And their performances are good, in the sense that they will be able to realize their business plan deliveries. And I think in relation to this, Chair, I mean, I think the particularly KZN, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape. The Eastern Cape, there are issues that we're not happy with, but these three have demonstrated good project management ability and skills, and even value for money. So that's what that. Chair, just the audit plan. You'll see that in relation to, and I don't want to take the steal the thunder of the AG in relation to how we perform, but that's where we sit in relation. Chair, I think the concerning fact in all of this is, you know, I think the one concerning fact, Chair, has been the slippage that was experienced, particularly in relation to Limpopo and Northwest. So that's reflected in the HSS data. So you'll see that there's a substantial amount of great capturing in relation to this. You'll see that on the slide. Chair, again, we can confirm that we are on the. I don't know. Did you, if you want to comment on the performance of the balance sheet?
Chair, on the performance issue, we've given promises, those promises that are not doing well. I think my colleague Nabu Cheney has listed them. We've given them up until end of September to submit to us a recovery plan. We have to make decisions halfway. We don't want to shift the funds in December if we have to shift the funds in December to those receiving provinces. So we've given most of those provinces that are not doing well up until end of September to give us a credible recovery plan. And that decision was taken at the last minute, which took place in August. The province that is worrying us at this stage, because if they don't perform, we don't perform, is Gauteng. Because you're talking about volumes there. If you look at Gauteng, the 80% of Gauteng and the 80% of Free State are two different figures. You look at Free State, underperformance is 84%. But if you look at Gauteng, that figure is big. And it affects us at the end of the year. When you look at our annual figures and you realize that Gauteng has not performed, it pulls down the national outlook, the national figures. So we're putting Gauteng under close watch. I must also say, Chair, that we have also seconded an official to Gauteng to support the AGOD, the very same official that we have used to assist Ekurhuleni. Is now surrendered to Gauteng, and we can see the impact is instant already. We had to review their business plan, because what we picked up in Gauteng is that they didn't apply what we call the readiness metrics tool, the tool that helps us to identify the state of readiness of all the projects in the business plan. We picked up that in Gauteng that tool was not applied properly. Some of the projects that were in the business plan are projects that were not ready to go. I think they were aspirational in the packaging of some of the projects in the business plan. We're keeping Free State, Limpopo as well under close watch. We're worried about Limpopo because they've been doing well, and all of a sudden that figure is now dropping. But we met with the MEC last week, myself and the CEO of HDA, to find ways to help them. We agreed with the AGOD that we'll also send on someone here to assist the office of the AGOD. So, Chair, basically, we're watching this space because we don't want to be in the same situation in the last quarter. I think we have to make decisions now where performance is not looking good. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Nebo, DG, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think the Department of Human Settlements, by the time we presented to the Portfolio Committee on the appropriation, we indicated an approved budget of 33.4 billion. And that's the budget that we shall be reporting on until the end of the financial year, 31 March 2018. If we look at the budget as segmented in terms of the four programs that have still been approved as budget structure programs, we have the biggest chunk of the money going to the housing development finance, which members would recall that it consists of the two major grants that the department is administering and managing. Your Human Settlement Development Grant taking a big amount of 19.9 billion, your USDG sitting at 11.3 billion, and that on its own consists of the budget of 31.1 that goes to our provinces and metros respectively. But if we look, if we look at the opening budget of your administration policy and program, it forms part of your operational budget cut from the 33.4 billion, and part of it goes to program four. The second column relates to your commitment that we have service level agreements with the service providers or the consultants that are rendering the service to the department in the form of CETA, in the form of NASP, and we also have the GTEC that we have appointed for the support towards the business case of the Human Settlement Development Grant, and we also have the IT services also within the spectrum of our commitment to the tune of 46 million. Now, when we get to the expenditure, and I think my DG and the colleagues have indicated in terms of the non-financial performance, it also affects the performance of the expenditure of the department. One may see the budget of 4.7 as big from the department. However, when we go to provinces, we will realize that the amount that we transferred may not constitute the 4.7 billion that we have transferred. But I think from the operational point of view and from the budget program point of view, the report suggests to say we have spent 7.7 4.7 billion of your 33.4 billion, and leaving the variance for us to run from July as it started of 28.7 billion. Chair, we ought to have been at 25% in terms of our standardized and on your quantitative analysis of your 25%, which is a 3-month target for the year. But I think when we were doing the cash flow, even for the province and metros, we were so conservative because we realized that in most of the instances, provinces and metros would request the highest part of their cash flow in January. Just so that, as DG had indicated, when we transfer or redirect the money is already with the province. And that's a strategy that they have picked up. So we've managed that cash flow and conserved it such that we reserve it at 15% across the provinces. And the idea of being conservative before or just in the first quarter is just so that we allow provinces to manage some of the cash flows that could not be managed in the previous financial year. In as far as your Limpopo, I mean your Free State and our famous Gauteng in some instances. But Chair, if we move, maybe can ask you to move to the next slide. If we move to the operational budget, this is where you will notice that the difference between the program 4, which is housing development finance, sitting at the operational budget of 27 million, it moves away from the 4 billion that we've transferred from provinces and leaves the department to an expenditure of 19%. This is what we shall also be reporting to the portfolio committee towards the end of the financial year and ending 31 March to the value of 783 million. To date, Chair, on this budget where we have spent much on our personal costs, which is compensation of employees, as well as the goods and services. And I think we also commend the department around the program 3, where the NASP takes part of the budget, and we could indicate at this point in time that at the rate that we are delivering on NASP, the performance of NASP and an expenditure is improving. And categorically, we can indicate that 7 million to date has been spent on this program alone. And members would recall that the program NASP has always been underspending. But I know that we cannot also get ahead of ourselves, because we did indicate that by the time we present the audit report, members would notice that we did not have any material underspending in this financial year. And I think at the same time, Chair, as the colleague had indicated on the 30 days, we were not found wanting in this year by the AG as well. But we shall come back and report in as far as the AG report and the audit report is concerned. So on the operational budget of the department, Chair, we are reporting on the 19%, which was basically the amount that one could say conservatively or conservatively, we were sitting at 20%. So most of it had gone to personal costs and some of the goods and services that carried us and the expenses that made us to be here today. The next slide. Chair, this forms part of the transfer payments that we had made to our institutions and our metros as well as our provinces, such that the 4.7 billion as indicated is broken down into the operational budget as well as the 4.5 billion technically that has been transferred to our institutions. If we look at the total allocation as it states that your HSDG, which is your Human Settlement Development Grant, 4.2 billion has been expended in the form of a transfer to all our provinces that are administering the grant itself, and we did not transfer the USDG during this period simply because the metros were still closing their books, they were closing their financial year. So the transfer to metros only started in July. Hence, we do not have a transfer figure there. So we've given our metro, our provinces, 4.32 billion. Of the amount that we had transferred to the entities relates to the social housing regulator for their operational activities, which is an operational budget of 46 million. Then we've given CISOs the whole amount of 23.3, and the sixth, Chair, is the amount that if we refer members backwards where we had borrowed money from SRA. That money will be adjusted back to the SRA during the adjustment budget because the condition was that it must be referred back to SRA. And at that time, CISOS was in dire need of the cash flow because they had cash flow challenges. So we will settle that 6.1 during the adjustment budget. We had given 105 million to our housing development agency. Then in terms of the other transfers that the department is administering, we have to date paid the tuition in terms of the scholarship program, the 475, and there was an element of official who has resigned and qualified for a leave discounting, so we paid the 164. And because we had budgeted less than what we could, obviously we have to redirect funds to close up the gap of 118 million. Then the rest will be transferred as we move along. Thank you, Neva. Chair, this is the slide where all our interest, and I think the DG and our colleagues have indicated. I'm going to read from my presentation because I can't see clearly there. And my apologies to that because I will not be facing the public. The budget that we had for the provinces as agreed upon and approved is 19.9 billion. Chair, and I think for everyone who sees this slide, we are indicating that Eastern Cape, KZN, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape, as well as Northern Cape, and as indicated, are not a challenge at this point in time. We do, however, state again that Free State, Gauteng, Northwest, and Limpopo at this point in time are the provinces that we shall be focusing our major attention on, just so that we do not lose money back to the sector. And where possible, as DG had indicated, we shall apply the division of revenue provision early before the other provinces who are eligible to receive the funds to be able to spend them by the end of the period. From the Eastern Cape point of view, although they had spent 100%, part of that 100% has been expended on their accruals because they had a number of accruals. Similarly with Free State, and in their business plan, we had approved the business plan on the condition that they indicate to us how much of the accruals would compromise the budget of this year. So they had paid the accruals, and Free State has confirmed that part of that money, if not 75% of that money, has paid the accruals. We did not do well as far as the Gauteng is concerned, and members have seen it from the main financial, and it affects the fact that they would not be able to have paid some of the invoices because they had not delivered to that degree. KZN has done very well in terms of their business plan and their plan for the quarter. However, the emphasis is also on the fact that they had paid their accruals as well, which we indicated them that they would have to declare them in terms of the business plan as well, because it does affect the targets that we have set ourselves for this year. We have not done well with Limpopo. Mpumalanga has been consistently doing very well. We do not have a problem with that. Northern Cape, with the smallest budget, they are fairly within the margin of their expenditure. And then our concern again, Chair, as the DG has indicated, we were not expecting Northwest to have had a fall, but to our surprise, it fell down in the previous financial year with the 239 million underspending. So we are watching Northwest very closely, and our efforts are actually towards the Northwest as well. Western Cape is within the marginal expenditure, and we do know, Chairperson, that Western Cape has always been spending their 100%. Chairperson, in terms of our metros, and I think what DJ had indicated, that the support that we had given to Ekurhuleni has yielded the desired results. And with the hope that the very same support that we shall be giving to Gauteng through the leadership of the official mentioned would improve the performance of Gauteng with the results that we shall be seeing on the ground. Chair, I must also state upfront that at the time of us finalizing this report, the figures had stood at 8.8 underspending, simply because we can only amend the figures upon the metros having signed off the report. And as we notice and as we do know that the metro financial year end 30 June, however, because of them being on accrual system, they have up until the 31st, and they had up until the 31st of August to pay the accrual or the accrued expenses to the values of what had been left but dated 30 June. I must indicate that with the meeting that we had with portfolio committee members, select committee members with Ekurhuleni, Tshwane, and Johannesburg, there was an indication of the figures that have changed or that had changed, especially for Ekurhuleni chairperson. The expenditure had improved from 89.9% to 98%, and that has been confirmed by the mayor yesterday. We were still sitting at 98% with our Mangaung. Then we had City of Joburg, who to date have not confirmed a new figure, so we shall be reporting to the portfolio committee that Joburg currently is still sitting with 79.3% of their expenditure. The City of Tshwane, the same case, they had indicated and improved to 99.9%. We can only correct it upon the final approval of the report by the city manager himself or herself. The same goes with the City of Cape Town. Of the 160, part of it has been expended. We are waiting an approval of the final report. Chair, if we were to give a figure, it will not be a correct figure from my assumption, because I shall be speculating the under expenditure, but it is confirmed that the City of Johannesburg to date has not given us a report, so we are reporting an under expenditure of 388 million of the grant. So, Chair, if one looks at this whole scenario, we shall be having a 96% of our USDG closing the financial year of the metro to date. Chair Neville will take us to the last slide. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair, honourable members. Chair, just the concluding report, I think the issue is that the provinces and municipalities continue to underperform in all programs under the MTSA, especially the upgrading of informal settlements. And yet, particularly, I think in relation to provinces, we need to indicate that the poor performance is as a result of the metros in that. One of the things that we've asked them to undertake together with our monitoring and evaluation, as per request of the DG, is to go and relook at some of those figures, because particularly the communal services that are being provided to informal settlements, there appears to be under reporting in relation to that. Chair, I think it's just important to note and to alert, as indicated, the department has proposed to National Treasury an amended grant framework to ensure that 50% of the USDG is spent on informal settlements. So that's what's in the grant. But I think what happens is that there's a continuation of obfuscation in relation to the concrete amounts allocated to poor households. So water, sanitation, you know, simple things like grading of fields, sports fields, and a whole range of issues. But I think it's just important to note, for honourable members as well as yourself, Chair, that when you do oversight, particularly in the metro, one of the things that we sometimes must indicate is that USDG funding does get allocated to libraries, even in certain instances, the purchases of fire engines. And the reason being is that there's a concomitant relationship between, for example, the purchase of a fire engine and the ability to respond to fires. In relation to the underperformance of the municipalities, particularly in relation to title deeds, and I think this is also important for the portfolio and your support together with honourable members, is we've proposed a revision of the grant structure to allow for national leverage. And we can present that, Chair, once we've taken that through the process. But I think the issue is that portfolios committee said to us, well, what are you doing? The point is that for all intents and purposes, Chair, there needs to be some measure of intervention, and that's what we're suggesting. A revised grant structure that allows perhaps maybe for a splitting of that grant, one into a Schedule 6, a 6 or a 5B. And then, Chair, if you look at the division of revenue and we'll do that at a future meeting, if we ring fence the catalytic projects, the FLIS, as well as the refinancing of the UN Settlement Development Bank. Chair, more importantly, I think just in relation to that, department has prepared and presented to MINMEC a set of recommendations to allow for reallocations to improve the performance of targets and outputs of both the HSDG and USDG. So ministers basically indicated to MINMEC and those provinces, Limpopo, Gauteng, Northwest, and Free State, provide us with reasons why we should not reallocate to KZN, why we should not reallocate to Mpumalanga, why we should not reallocate to the Eastern Cape, why we should not reallocate, given the level of performances by those chair, and that falls within the ambit of the DG as the transferring officer to do that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Official. That's the first quarter report of the human settlement. Comments, questions, clarity.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. Appreciate the presentation. While we're not very happy with the presentation, it does give the facts as they are on the ground. So we appreciate for telling the truth. Definitely, Chair, maybe starting from the important bill that you are promising that in 4 weeks or so will be bringing to us, the Property Practitioners Bill, is one bill that is quite important and very transformational to our society, noting that the industry, the property industry in South Africa, is still untransformed. It's like 1994 has not happened in the property industry. So we're quite happy. We hope when the bill comes, it will indeed ensure that the people of South Africa, those that were excluded, are now hopeful, have a reason to be hopeful that the property industry would also allow them in. Thank you very much for that point. We also note what you said are concluding remarks as your recommendation on things that you want to do to remedy the situation you are presenting throughout your presentation. So because your presentation indeed from the Director General to yourself, Mervel, to the CFO, indeed, it tells there's a problem. Unfortunately, although the problem is at provincial level, in particular the provinces of Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, and Northwest, because you are sitting at the top, we expect that you are not just sitting there, but you are also going on daily basis there, even where you have seconded in one official, but we hope you are also moving around. You are not sitting in your office in Pretoria because that won't assist to second one official and hope miracles will happen. So we would think we must say, Chair, this report is not acceptable. It is a report that shows that the performance of the people that were employed as government throughout South Africa, in particular those provinces, at least your report is outlining the provinces that are performing, such as Eastern Cape, so we must appreciate those officials. So when we condemn the non-performers, it must be clear the report does give credit to the provinces that are doing their part of the work. So as the portfolio committee, we are clear. Remember, when the employed professionals are not performing, they are compromising the citizens of South Africa, of the services they are supposed to be given. And there's a budget, but is not given to them by the employed. So that's why, as a portfolio committee, on behalf of the people of South Africa, we have a duty to condemn. And also, check with yourselves. Beside your recommendation, you have put recommendations, things that you want to put to remedy the situation. But we have always called for consequence management for people who are not performing. People must not continue to be officials, top paid officials, when they are not delivering services to our people. We give them budget, they don't give it to our people. So we would want the report, besides changing, reinforcing, rescheduling the finances, but what do you do to those senior officials that are not delivering? While they said in the interview, they are equal to the task. They have qualification, they have experience, they have everything. Now they must deliver, they are not. Consequence management, what are you doing to those that are not performing? So I think that would assist. We're not happy that the Milvest issue is still a problem. So we thought it is one program that can easily be attended to, because the number is also not increasing. So even to empower them, you know, this 30% of them, also their companies being prioritized, we would really love to see it happening. South Africa must indeed belong to everybody. So far, it's like in theory, South Africa belongs to everybody. But in practical terms, it still belongs to those that were enjoying during the apartheid era. So those others are participating theoretically. So I think we have a duty to ensure that we open up, even in terms of companies. So that's a duty that the department must lead on it, even on Milvest situation. In particular, there's one point that I think I must say, is in base 3, it's talking about the transformation targets. Talk of skills in universities and the TVET colleges. So over the weekend, I visited one of the classes of the artisan. It's a 4-year program, but it's a construction center. But for 4 months, they haven't been paid the stipend. There were 50 in the beginning. It is in Gauteng, in Mokale City. They were 50 in the beginning. They are now 32, because they cannot even transport themselves. They are from Soweto, others are from there in Kafiso. They are from everywhere. This stipend is assisting them to be able to move around. So these sitters, the construction sitter, if you have a way, if you can see to it that, because artisan is one skill that South Africa needs, in particular from those that are previously disadvantaged communities. So we need that number. But when we reduce it, even when the program is there, but we put obstacles that will make people not to attend, I think those things, the report is there, but these are obstacles that we do meet across when we go around in the community. Chair, I think I'll leave other points, hoping that my colleagues would also touch on, including the importance of the mining areas. You know, the president started this program and is relevant as we go there in the mining towns. We don't want mining towns to be ghost towns when the mines are closed. So we must start now, make them functional, upgrade them. So we're not moving in line with what we promised in the beginning. So I think, Chair, I'll leave the others for the other members. I'm happy that the senior management they've now moved in terms of the disclosure to almost 99.7. I think we appreciate that. We expect our officials to do that. We appreciate that they have now disclosed what they are doing, because they are not there to hide and push other their interests. So we're quite happy about that part of the report. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Fuma.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. But three quick questions, especially on the slide using the military vehicle. What causes this delay of the appointment of the contractors? Chair, on this one of the Free State and Limpopo building above the set up target, not target, what? The set up square meters. Are they still doing it in this financial year? Because I believe we met them and we make them aware of that. Lastly, Chair, the one. This one of the establishment of the provincial steering committees. Who are these provinces that are till date? They did not progress steering committees. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. I mean, I find this presentation to be very refreshing because it's actually very honest. But with honesty comes, you know, a difficult reaction, because it's very depressing, actually, if you look at the consistent level of underperformance and underspending. And it's something that's alluded to. And I noticed that, you know, there's proposed corrective measures there. But I just want to get a sense from the team, because the language in there is, and I understand it's all in the spirit of intergovernmental relations, so there's a high-level diplomacy there. But surely there comes a time where we move from, you know, if encourage doesn't work, what is the next step, you know, particularly when we deal with, you know, issues that are more, or could easily, arguably easily be implemented, such as, you know, the uniformity in terms of, you know, building structures. I mean, what happens if encourage doesn't work? What other recourse is there for the team to pursue? Because we don't take it for granted that this encouragement hasn't been done previously. And we are here again in another financial year still encouraging. But also, you know, the reference to this allocation of 30% of work to companies that are registered, you know, that are led by military veterans, you know, that subsequent to this imposition, what is actually the status quo in terms of performance? Because we understand there's this, you know, goal that we are working for, which is a very noble goal if you take into consideration what this project aims to do in terms of empowering and capacitating the military veterans. But what is the current status quo? And linked to that is what Honorable Memezi briefly touched on about, you know, these things happen, and ultimately we ask ourselves, what happens to those that lead these initiatives? What is, you know, the consequence with regards to what generates underperformance or under-delivery? Is it just pure ineptitude? Is it a lack of capacity? Or is there something else? You know, is there some force that somehow stands in the way of things being done as they were planned and budgeted for and resources put in place for, so that we, you know, the same honesty that is in the document can also be extended, you know, throughout the focus? Because it is one thing to highlight the problems, you know, but also another to look what are actually the cultural factors and how can we intervene in such a way that at every quarter we're not mulling over the same problem, or at the end of every financial year we are not talking about the same provinces with the same problem, so that we can start to see that there is progress and that these engagements we have also lead to some form of progress, so that we can have a sense that even when, you know, we have these engagements, we are contributing towards something that's correcting wrongdoing where it's happening. But also, the other issue that I find, you know, very frustrating is just the consistent slow pace with regard to fixing the issue with title deeds. I mean, I can have some sort of understanding with the historic title deeds, you know, because that also requires a whole lot of, you know, digging into archives and a whole lot of verification that goes into that. But when we also look in terms of the post-94 or the new subsidy houses title deeds, even there, it's extremely underwhelming to catch up. And we are constantly being in a situation where the backlog will keep rising because the level of delivery is so slow that it doesn't even come close to addressing, you know, the existing backlog. And if we can get a sense again from the team, because, you know, while administratively measures have been put in place, there's a task team, you know, there's an intervention team that's been put in place, and people are being seconded, you know, and in some instances there's difference that can be seen that, you know, such a secondment has contributed to results. But, you know, this is a recurring issue with the title deeds, and, you know, the importance of such cannot be overstated. It's obvious to everyone, you know, in this forum about how, if, you know, that was to be expedited or speedily resolved, you know, the significance of that in just changing the landscape of property ownership, mostly to very poor black South Africans, would be so powerful, and that at this stage we're still sitting here with this particular weapon that could be used to unlock those many opportunities, and there just seem to not be sufficient breakthrough in changing this as to what more needs to give in order for this to happen, you know. And again, and I'm referencing Honorable Memenzi a lot today because he spoke half of the things I wanted to speak, is that ultimately, if there is inaction or slow pace, there's got to be a degree of accountability to say, this is happening at administrative level. If that is the case, this requires, you know, political intervention, if that is the case, or if it needs a combination of both or any other thing, so that at the end of the day, we can have confidence that even this forum leads to an output, so that we eventually talk about having results and talk about how big the problems keep growing and the results are slow. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. I want to appreciate the presentation, and when the presentation is so honest, one finds oneself not really wanting to question many things, but it is obvious that the department is also worried about the poor performance of the other or some provinces. I can't wait to see the property bill coming to its fruition, because it interprets into transformation. We are waiting eagerly to see that being finalized. I didn't quite get what was said by the DG in respect of the Development Bank and the Human Settlements Bank. I didn't quite get what you were saying. I would like somebody to repeat that so that I can understand. Now, what do we do, or what does the department do with the provincial service providers, or no, the service providers within the ambit of the provincial departments who do not pay the service providers within 30 days. They, especially in the Eastern Cape, there are a lot of people who are complaining of the lack of the failure to pay within 30 days of some service providers. I don't know what can be done with that because we're always getting these complaints about service providers who are not paid within the 30 days, and some of them fold up because of non-payment. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bach. Honorable Bach.
Thank you, Sister. Chair, firstly, let me also appreciate the presentation and the fact that I think it left no stone unturned to a certain degree. But also let me say that probably the property bill will assist us in reconfiguring and transforming this specific sector, and therefore I think it will assist us moving forward as a country. Chair, let me also say that I think the DG made note of the fact that there will be an informal settlement grant that will be, you know, that will be kind of that will come up. I think it's an innovative kind of move that may assist us in addressing the issue of informal settlement and the fact that our people live in appalling conditions. However, Chairperson, I think it's important to crack the whip where it's necessary. I think Honorable Memizi kind of fell short of saying people must be dismissed for non-performance. I think he wanted to be legally or politically correct in not dismissing people before a due process is followed. But I think the essence of it, we can't expect the national department to come sit here and kind of find all the reasons for non-performance without people taking responsibility of their failures and the failure to deliver to the masses of our people. Thirdly, Chairperson, I think I want to say a little bit in terms of the military veterans. That, you know, I don't get a clear sense of what the issues are in terms of non-performance by the four, I think, mentioned provinces that really seem not to be moving at all in this particular area. Because for me, I think in order to assist in addressing challenges, we must be able to say what the challenges are. And people must be upfront and honest about what their difficulties are. Because there's a difference in being unable to perform for various constraints as opposed to a political will to discharge a particular program that has to be done in each of these provinces. So for me, I think we must be able to unpack that. But secondly, Chair, on the same issue of military reserve, probably to what extent can this be attributed to military vets in some areas blocking these projects because of non-beneficiation? Because I think for me, if you feel that a project is implemented to address your issues, but you feel that you are not involved in the actual project being rolled out and the fact that you are not benefiting out of it, for me, I think it's a reason to make sure you frustrate the process, as it were. So I'm saying, to what extent are military vets kind of also responsible in making sure that they frustrate the processes? Also, additional to that, Chairperson, the issue of military vets now getting 10% in terms of, you know, RDP houses that would be built in different communities at a 50 square meter. Knowing that some of your colleagues got bigger houses, what guarantee do we have that military vets will accept smaller houses, knowing that a friend of mine in Area A did get a bigger house than mine?
because I think that we must be sensitive to such issues. Again, Chairperson, on non-performance in other provinces, there's an issue of national department seconding officials to address some of the bottlenecks, addressing challenges. But you see, that can't be endless. At some point, a seconded person will do whatever is expected and then have to go back. But how do we make sure that we leave capacity in those areas so that the difference that a seconded official will leave will then be continued even in the absence of the person who's been seconded to that specific province? Because for me, it means that if we don't do that, we will keep on seconding individuals to provinces, hoping that they'll be able to do what is expected, but when they leave with all the good work that they would have done. So to what extent do we then make sure that capacity is built and that we leave people who are responsible enough to make sure that they continue doing the good work that would be done by those officials who would be seconded in those specific provinces. But I think members have indicated that maybe it's time that those that are not pulling their weight must be dealt with. They must be taken to task. So that if someone is unable to do what is expected, then that person must give way for people who are willing to work, who are willing to deliver services to the masses of our people. And what's that?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me first start by welcoming the presentation by the department. The presentation that is so honest, but you cannot just keep quiet and say the presentation is honest and then nothing is happening. Again, let me appreciate the provinces that are equal to the task, that are doing very well and delivering on their mandate. And those that are not yet at standard, maybe the department to encourage them to follow suit and also achieve like the other provinces as they did. The issue of whether officials or contractors that are failing the department to deliver services. I'm also following suit to Honorable Memezi and Honorable Baha that they must be dealt with. We are not going to sit back and just watch them sitting there and earning salaries and then people waiting there for houses, monies being issued and then not being used. Officials are there and not doing anything. On the issue, because I'm not asking questions, I'm just commenting. On the issue of the military veterans, when we were on oversight at Northwest Province, we have heard the province alluding that sometimes there is this resistance from these military veterans, that there is nothing about them without them. Whether maybe this problem now is being managed, because if they are resisting and people cannot do anything, they are also complaining that they don't get their houses. The issue of the title deeds, it is an old song. They say, if we not come on a sufficient, because we cannot always talk about the backlogs and then we don't see the progress, because you must give us the breakdown how you are dealing with it. and even the time frames. We cannot every time come here and then you report to us very honestly, the problem is still the same. We must see progress going on in these provinces about this issue of title deeds. I think my honorable members have covered me in a lot of many issues that I'll raise. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also join my colleagues in welcoming the report from the department, but noting the cited challenges by the department. Let me draw your attention to page 13, the slide that speaks about performance as of 30 June 2013 HSDG. The department mentioned a number of challenges, including the payment of most of the budget paid accruals. I'm not so sure if this is a recurring problem or it's starting now. And if it's a recurring problem, what is the department's intervention in that regard? Because we cannot have a situation where the money and time that is allocated for delivery of houses is then shifted and paid, shifted to accrual. Maybe we need to be told by the department as to, are there any steps taken towards these provinces that are actually allowing themselves to find themselves in a state where monies allocated are then shifted to pay for accruals, and then the time allocated for service delivery is then wasted on this issue. On the issue of the non-performing provinces, maybe we were not told if there were steps taken on those provinces or on those accounting officials on the issue of non-performance. Maybe we need to be told more on that point. As my colleagues have said, we cannot just accept a report that speaks more on challenges, that speaks more on non-performing provinces, and we are not told as to what happened. Is there anything that's going to happen to this kind of behavior? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Council. Honorable Council.
Thank you, Chief. Let's give to the fact that the National Department has been able to report fairly and honestly, highlighting the challenges and the improvement in certain areas. Having said that, Chairperson, let me focus on HSDG and USDG and to some extent title deed post 1994 foreclosure. The performance of about five provinces is very much welcomed, and I think we should applaud the provinces that have been able to spend the budget allocated to them at the first quarter as 100% and even more than 100%. They are out of four. Four, five, and I think out of five, there are about three of those that have spent 100% and others even over 100% within capable, able to spend 50%. But we hope that the ones that have spent more than 100%, they'll be able to balance in the next quarter spending, the balance, the overspending, which is not the trend at the moment. Also, the USDG also really applaud the provinces, the metros in those provinces where the USDG has been spent at 100% in Buffalo City, Nelson Mandela, and Ethekwini during the 15-16 year financial year. And there are really no unspent funds reported to. And I think it's important for the National Department to come closer to the municipalities that are really finding difficult to spend their USDG. We note the improvement done by the Ebu-Ruleni due to the secondment of the national official where it has been reported to. But also we really have to note that even the new Mangaung, new metro has been able to spend about 90%, and why the metro that has been around for quite some time are failing to at least to reach a 90%. Like the Mazinyun Metro Mangaung has been able to do. And with the accruals, I want to believe that at this stage, maybe the accruals are due to misalignment of the financial year. But I will get more clarity. I want to believe that is sometimes is the cause, because get reflected during the first financial year. I think you'll get that because the municipalities, their financial year ended only in June, and they were still spending the money that was allocated to them by the province and national office their year ended at end of March. Having said this, Chairperson, I want to come back to the issue that has been raised of is it really only administrative assistance that is required, or there is also political intervention that is required in these processes? I'll highlight the Limpopo. I think somewhere, somehow, we should really request the minister to come closer to Limpopo politically and ascertain what is it that is not, what is it that is not performing really in Limpopo. I've been on record citing that the service sites that are not being produced. I've seen Gauteng as well on quarter one. There are no sites planned and no sites are produced during the first quarter. And it's a cause for concern, because it has been proven that in the urban areas, when people are given sites, they are able to build houses and even bigger houses for themselves without being assisted by a cent by national government or provincial government. All they require is just a service site, because it's very difficult for an individual to develop, to be able to service the site or to provide an infrastructure for that site. If government assists with the provision of an infrastructure, bugs, and then our people are able to build their houses. And that will reduce the burden from the state of building free houses all the time, because the president of the country has been raising questions about this, as this is a moving target. So in order to address that, we must be more on producing a service site. Coming to that, the on the administrative side of intervention, I no longer want to dwell much on the capacity, and I think sometimes the capacity, on especially on metros, the capacity is not an issue. Because for years, there was a capacity building funding that was allocated to metros, and those funds were rolled over or found to be unspent by the metros, and then on the other side, we issue about the capacity. So it's no longer a capacity. I think it's a management part of why it's management issue. It's not really a capacity in the sense of capacity. Whether the person is performing his or her duty to his or her ability, or there is no will to perform at all. And because we are employed by government, we are in our comfort zone because nothing is going to happen to us. And if the tool, your performance appraisal is not working, then you must find something else to penalize the officials that are not performing. And that is duty of the provinces, the duty of the metro, the duty of the municipality, not only the duty of the national department. I'm not sure whether shall we continue transferring money to the provinces that are not performing. Maybe you should reduce, and you have started by reducing the 15% monitoring at a rate of 15% during the first quarter and see the improvement. Maybe that's what we need to do, but we run a risk of the funds being taken back by the National Treasury from the National Department if we are not spending. So it's a cash-21 situation that we are in, but unfortunately, we now have to request the minister to really monitor each and every province and give us certain reports in terms of why these provinces are failing to perform on particular programs. What are the real issues, politically and administratively? As the minister and the department. Chairperson, on title deeds, this restoration program post-1994, the backlog. I found a fresh record, and I want to be like that until someone accept that it's not all post-1994 title deeds are going to be used. Because of the manner that the houses were built for many years, especially between that period up to 1999 or so. And now I'm making a concrete proposal, that the National Department categorize the backlog into two. The one where we had no norms and standards, we were just building. And in those projects, land issues are not being resolved. Some of them up to today, the land issues are not yet resolved. And some of those projects, the planning issues are not being finalized up to today, hence you are not going to get a title deed on that particular land. So my plea is that just separate those two. You can take which year you are talking about, you know better, but I will think up to 1999, and then from 2000 and 2006, if you want to, and then 2006 to currently, and see where are the bottlenecks. Because we'll keep on saying that we have a backlog, and then we'll say that because the people that have much problems are the ones that were delivering at the time. Lesser delivering provinces will not have a problem. Because in any way, they're not delivering in the areas that are difficult with the land issues. They're having challenges with land issues and planning. If you are producing where the township establishment were already in place and the land issues were resolved, of course you are not going to have a problem. But if you are dealing with the informal settlement upgrade in a huge number of programs, you are bound to have a problem. I had an opportunity of being involved in the municipality and metro for 10 years, and I can relate to the challenges. And I wish one day somebody must sit down and some people must sit down and appreciate the challenges there. But of course, if we are in a city where you are not focusing on the poor areas, we are not going to have a challenge like the metro that you're focusing on poor areas. And somewhere, somehow, must be able to find where the problem is and be able to assist in that regard. But also, yes, we have to push them to work much more, perform better than they are doing right now. But really, the challenges, they keep on popping. They'll keep on, the delays will keep on coming up and the backlogs, because we are not dealing with the actual problem that the municipalities are faced with, especially the metro. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, whilst we understand that with Free State and the Eastern Cape, you did come to us sometime last year to report about their approvals. We even invited them in front of this committee to deal with this issue. And we are also aware that their business plan had to be delayed because they had to cater for this. But it doesn't take away the fact that we need business. So I'm just saying that because I know that it was a question that we were very worried about towards the end of last year, and we dealt with it. I do want to comment on the four provinces that seem to be bad performers. And particularly because the report says recovery plans have been asked from them to be developed by the end of September to be submitted to the National Department. But in these provinces, there is Northwest, which we had already visited, which we had already seen that they are not performing well, which we had already asked for a recovery plan. So I'm hoping that Northwest is not also expected to submit end of September, because they are supposed to be here already. I just wanted to check that, because whilst we're waiting for the probably the other two, but we should be told that Northwest has submitted theirs. I'm very worried about Gauteng. Very worried about Gauteng. Gauteng seems to be getting worse instead of getting better. And I do want the National Department, probably when they come back to report on the second quarter, they should actually be giving us a detailed report on how they want to assist, or they are assisting Gauteng. As they themselves have already indicated that if Gauteng does not perform, the department doesn't perform, because the big numbers are in Gauteng. So then you can't then report on Gauteng just by then saying we've then taken the official that was assisting Ekurhuleni to go and assist Gauteng. I think there's more that needs to be done in Gauteng. So I think it's important that when you come back to present the second quarter report, give us a detailed report on how you are intervening in Gauteng. It cannot be a question. Gauteng did not make its targets even in the last financial year. So it can't be like a question of work as usual. There should be something drastic that you are doing in Gauteng. So from where I'm sitting, I think that needs to be taken care of.
One is concerned about Limpopo. I know the honorable members have raised it. We went to Limpopo early. We raised alarm. Interventions were made. It improved. It's going back to square. And I think this speaks to the fact that as you intervene and assist provinces, what then do we do to make sure that they are able to stand on their own once you move out? Because now, for me, because what Limpopo is demonstrating is that because now that assistance has gone back to national department, it goes back to square one. So there's something that you are not doing right in terms of we cannot then be seen as if we go in as being as firefighters, assist a particular province. Once we move out, it goes back to square one. So I think we need to have a long-term plan of how then do we assist these provinces rather. Because we were very happy in the last financial year, honorable members, with what Limpopo has turned itself around. But now we are seeing Limpopo going back. Because we do know for a fact that the official that was seconded in Limpopo is back in the national department. That's a cause for concern, honorable Charles. So it means you went there, did your work, did not leave any skills there, and then you are back in the national department. Now Limpopo is going back to square one. This is the man that was seconded to Limpopo. He's back in the national department. So I'm just worried. There's something more that then we need to look at, DDG, in terms of when we intervene in these provinces and assist, what is the long-term plan that we do, rather than wanting them to have a short-term recovery and then what? We, much as honorable members are appreciating the fact that you've been honest in your report, I know me, that your honesty did not just come out of your good heart. You've realized that it doesn't matter how much you hide the truth, we always find it out. But you decided that the best way is just to be honest from the website. So we understand that. But having said that, we need to point it out to you that you have not met your target. Out of all the APP targets, you've only met one. The one that deals with informal settlement. The rest, you have not met. All of them. And that is a failure in my language. How, it doesn't matter how honest you've been that we did not have a math teacher. The fact of the matter is that you have failed. So you have not met your target. And we have always been saying, most of the time, you seem not to be doing much in the first quarter. We've raised this thing in the previous financial year. You, the provinces and everybody seem to want to be relaxed in the first quarter and then want to work hard, particularly on the third and first quarter. And we have said we need to make sure and see that wet provinces start to be serious from the wet go. Because it becomes a burden to them and to the department then by the last two quarters, because now they have to rush and make sure that they play catch up. So we would want to see a different picture in the second quarter. I do not want the department to come here and only have one target that has been met. It doesn't matter what are the reasons. I don't even want to sit on the reasons of why you have not met. The point is, you have not met your targets. Those targets were set up by yourselves, not by us. You presented them to us, and you said it's doable. You're coming here now, you are being honest, fair enough, but your honesty is, it doesn't take away the fact that you have not met your target. You haven't. And so second quarter, we just want to see a different picture. It can't be normal that therefore let's go there and be honest and tell them all the honest things and then they will understand why we didn't meet our target. No. We would want to see a different picture in the second quarter. So work hard because those already your second quarter is almost done in terms of, so work hard and make sure that by the time you come here, because otherwise if you come here and you have not met your target, we are going to chase you away. You are not going to present that report. You are not going to present that report with those targets having not met. I'm telling you now. And don't say you have not been warned. We are not going to accept a report of more than 90% of targets not being met. It can't be correct. I do want to, you know, in your report, there is 47 catalytic projects that you talk about, which this committee is still waiting for that presentation. So we don't know why you have the guts to tell us about 47 catalytic projects that we don't know about. HDA and yourself came here, you asked for the report to be withdrawn, you will come back and present, and this quarter report tells us about 47 catalytic projects. What catalytic projects that we don't know about? So can we take it as this committee doesn't know anything about those 47? We don't know anything. We have never been told. You will remember the CEO of HDA came late into a meeting and that item was withdrawn, DGG. And you were supposed to come back and present. So it cannot be then found sneaked into this first quarter report as if we have been presented with. We don't know about it. We're still waiting. When you are ready to present to us, you will let us know and you will come and present the catalytic project. We don't know. The other part is, once we understand the title of this story, which is depressing on its own, I don't want to say it yet. I seem to remember that when you presented here, there was a program that you called a title restoration program that the National Department was dealing with, because you realized that provinces are not moving on this target. And you said you are intervening on this target. And I seem to remember you said you have even appointed Black Conveyancers, a team, to deal with this thing. We need to be told what is that team doing and how is the progress, because now we have not met this target. It's actually very low. But we are not getting to be told what then is the progress that is being made by that recovery plan that you have put yourself. That there is a team that you yourself have put up that you wanted to assist with this liquidity restoration program. We just see a target that has not been met. We need to be told at some point, is that team doing the good job? Do you see progress being made by that team? Because you yourself told us about that. So I think at some point when you give us reports, you must be able to match what you've told us. Don't assume that because you told us something six months ago, we have forgotten. We don't forget. We remember this thing. You were sitting here and you yourself told us you have realized that the provinces are not moving on this target. You yourself then said you have then agreed that this, you are going to drive it from the national office. So, once you understand that the provinces have not moved on this target, but what is it? Is there progress now? Because we have been seeing this low target for some time until we were harping on it, until you yourselves then came with a recovery plan on this. So, which we then need to be told, is it working? So, I thought it's important that we remind you of those things before you respond. Because when you report as if now there were no things that have been put in place to deal with this thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. Chair, I'll cover the points that I'm able to, and then my colleagues will fill in. Chair, just to outline, I mean, I think in relation to the overall performance, specifically around the HSDG and the USDG, I think the common point that we need to reiterate is that those provinces that have a stable administrative management in place are those that are performing. And the common denominator, particularly within what we can comment on, particularly around administrative stability at a management level, you'll translate into that. So if you look at the Western Cape, that's a common thread. You've had an HOD, you've got a CFO that have been there for probably 5 to 6 years. If you look at KZN, that's the same situation. You've got an HOD that's been in the sector for probably between 8 to 10 years. You've got a chief operations officer who's come through the ranks. The same situation. Chair, I think in relation to that, what we can indicate is that where there have been administrative changes, there's been a regression. So if you look at the Northwest, as we indicated previously, that there's been an unstable management. You've had probably about 4 or 5 HODs. But if you look at, there have been successes. We've managed to be able to turn Limpopo around for a while, and then it went back to what it is, a poor performance. We've got a situation, for example, in Mpumalanga, where you've had an HOD where there's been assistance, and we are seeing the fruits of that. The same situation is applicable in relation to, for example, the metros. Chair, I think it would not be within the realm of us as officials to comment on the political leadership. I think it's outside of our realm to do that, and I think it's best discussed with ministers. Chair, I think I note and the issue around the property practitioner bill, we will ensure that time frame is met. All the work has been done, and it's just for Kevin to approve for introduction into Parliament. So that's it. Chair, in relation to, Member Mumezi, I'll cover the points as raised by honourable members. I think the issue is that as a national department, we've taken a hands-on approach. But I think, Chair, it was not a strategy that we sat and said we're going to be honest and we're going to then not provide any particular interventions that we are taking. Chair, I think to note, we are frustrated. And I think the one issue that the frustration finds itself is the issue of concurrency, the issue about the legality, the issue around the compliance, and also one of the issues that, in many respects, the one lever that we have, and the DG has, is the ability to withhold and reallocate. But that is still then subject to a national treasury responsibility, and it can take, Chair, almost, and I think the CFO will comment on this, it can take almost probably 2 months to stop and reallocate, because there's reasons that must be given, notwithstanding the fact that we, and it's the one thing that as national department officials we've agonized around this issue. So if you just look at the kind of interventions, the hands-on approach, in fact, Chair, I can raise the issue that, we've got a Director General that probably chairs 2 steering committees on projects, a National Director General who has had to intervene in 3 or more project-related programs. So the experience that we speak about is, I think the issue around accountability and consequence management is a matter that I can confirm was raised with senior officials, and I think it relates to the ability of the national DG to hold HODs accountable. I think the issue is that those HODs account to those executive authorities, being the MECs. So that's that. Chair, in relation to the delays in the contractors for the military veterans, by Member Farai, is one of the issues is that particularly what we've been informed is that the delays in appointment of contractors is particular in the military veterans is particularly to be able to meet that 30%. But we've raised the issue that it must not be used as an excuse, because you go to the Chatty 409 project in Nelson Mandela, it is the I think almost 50%, if not more, of the contractors are military vets, and they're performing. You know, there's been hiccups, but the consequences of this reason we've not accepted. So that's it. So which are those provinces that don't have only the KZN, Free State, Northwest, and Limpopo has steel plants. The rest of the provinces don't. I'll repeat that: KZN, Free State, Northwest, and Limpopo has military veteran steel plants. And you can look at that. You know, it's not an indication that there will be performance, but those are the areas that have got the excluded areas have got a substantial amount of the backlog in relation to that. Chair, I mean, the issues around, I mean, Member Matlatsi, I think the issue is that what generates poor performance? And I think one of the issues that we've said is that the grant provides a substantial amount of money for planning. And there's a substantial amount of money that's going into planning. But that amount of money is not translating into delivery. And the disconnect is between the planning phase and the translation of that into a serviced unit and a house. And the issue is that if you take, for example, the Free State doesn't have a problem with spending money. The problem is translating that money into units and houses. And that's where we've said we need to sit down with the Free State and find out why is it that you're able to spend the money but it doesn't translate into and that's the key issue. So we've said to them they must come to the offices and present their business plan and find out why this is. Because even in the case of accruals, when you pay for an accrual, it must translate into a deliverable. So the excuse that we're spending money on accruals, if you take the Eastern Cape, the Eastern Cape has substantial amounts of accruals, but when they pay for that accrual, it translates into a house, it translates into a service stand. The same thing with KZN. When they pay for it, it translates into a unit. Now the question is in the Free State, we've got to be able to determine, and that's something that we're in the process of finding out, so where's this money going? Where's the seepage that's not resulting in this? So if you look at even the figures that we've presented today under the CFOs, you'll see that's the key issue. It's not an issue about I think the issue here is that there's a substantial amount of projects that have been planned and where there's money been spent, but there's substantial delays on this. Now, whether or not it's a problem with the industry in terms of consultants, because this sector is heavily reliant on service providers, planners, engineers, construction. So one of the issues that we're having to deal with is that. Now, we've issued a directive in relation to all new houses that are built, where we say that an NHBRC certificate can only be issued, or certification can only be taken, can be issued once there is a title deed that's shown. And that's a measure particularly in relation to the post-July 2014. And we'll be able to give an indication of the success of that, particularly in relation to title deeds. Because one of the issues that did create this problem was houses were being handed over without the title deeds and certification. So we've issued that directive to the NHBRC. Chair, on Member Bum's point around the poor payment of service providers, we take direct dumps or direct information from the housing subsidy system, because the housing subsidy system is able to say to us, this is the this is the amount of work that's been done, this is how many service providers have been paid, this is how many service providers have not been paid, and this is the number of days outstanding for those service providers, and we regularly follow up that. It's one of the issues that we've raised, and the CFO will on a regular basis, in fact on a monthly basis, we provide that information and we ask for reasons. So there has been a substantial ability to bring that figure down. I think what we have to be careful of is not to be able to interfere in some of those processes, because sometimes obviously if there's one or two contractors where these payments have been delayed, we've asked for reasons, and that is able to be provided. On the issue of the Human Settlements Development Bank, I think Gigi was raising to the capitalization, that one of the things that we've said is that when the bank does come into operation, for it to be effective, it must be fully capitalized. What we didn't want to do was to take money from the Human Settlements Development Grant and capitalize it. So we've asked Treasury to provide a capitalization or a once-off capitalization over the MTF, rather than utilize the Human Settlements Development Grant. Treasury have said to us they will only consider that once-off MTF capitalization once we have the legislation. If we don't have the legislation and the bank comes into operation, we will have to use it. We'll have to reallocate money from either the USDG and the HSDG. Hence, it's to our benefit if we together with the assistance of the committee get that legislation approved, and hopefully we can do that before the 1st of April next year. So, Chair, on Member Bacher's point around the Property Practitioners Bill, I've covered that issue. The Informal Settlements Grant is what we think is a measure, and I think what we're trying to do with some of these measures and interventions that we're making is that within the legal constitutional ambit of the National Department, make certain interventions so that we can better prioritize money, because one of the things that we found is that in the metros, it's difficult to find out what is being prioritized for informal settlements and poor households. If we have a grant, and if we have a dedicated grant with a good set of conditions, we'll be able to do that. The issue around the military veterans and the non-beneficiation, I think that could be said for any project. In all projects, you get stoppages, you get community dissatisfaction, and there's gatekeeping of various sorts in different projects. I think the issue that one has to be able to deal with as officials and and our political principle is we've got to be just firm, and we've got to make sure that there's a substantial amount of consultation and we're able to hold our service providers accountable. Chair, yes, we have, as part of the department, seconded officials. We've provided capacity either through ourselves or identified capacity. The difficulty with that is that it's the point I raised, is that there must be a stable management. And yes, one of the things that we've raised is that when we do second officials, there is a... What happens is that the officials that get seconded also help to fast-track some of the appointments that may take place in those, so that when the official is seconded or comes back to national, there's no capacity gap. Chair, I think in the case of Limpopo, we can have it. It's something that, as officials, it's not within our ambit to raise why Mr. Chauke is back in the department. But I think I in the interests of diplomacy, I think it's something that we can take. Chair, on the issue of the title deeds, I think the WIP's point is very, very, and I want to speak to this in relation to what Member Nkadimeng raised, is that, and I understand your frustration around the question of the title deeds, Chair. And I don't want to sugarcoat this, but yes, I think this committee, like we are, is tired of excuses. It's tired of honesty, because you can. I mean, I think from where we sit in, it's like we said, we're tired of stories. And what is the issue that we have to be able to? I think, as you say, Chair, what is that intervention mechanism? Now, the solution which we put to National Treasury is a Schedule 5B grant. And the USDG. So a 5B grant basically means that the National Department is able to contract directly service providers and able to hold those people accountable. And I can tell you something, Chair, that's not something that is finding favor with Treasury. It is not. We've had a discussion on Friday, and they said to us, well, then you're usurping the powers of the provinces. You're usurping the powers of the municipalities. Now the difficulty is we sit there and we say, well, then how is it that we can make good on these promises? Because, yes, one of the things that we have set up this task team is exactly to do what Member Ganga Tabashe has indicated. It's not only about conveyancing. It's more than conveyancing. So those task team members, and Chair, we will provide a detailed report. Those task team members that have been there are not there to convince, but they are there to deal with the blockages in relation to administration, in relation to township establishment, layout plans, conversion of agricultural land in terms of Section 78 to township establishment. It's the entire thing, because we've just found, Chair, I want to be fair to officials, but I think we also need to be honest, is that the title deeds process is not a sexy process. It's not. It's a process that is tiring, that is administrative, that there's not a lot of money in it. Out of the subsidy of 147,000, the maximum we can pay is 2,000. So of I mean, and what happens is that developers chase that that one, that 140,000, you know, the services and the house, and then the 2,000 they say, okay, it's the time effective money. But I think as officials and reporting to political principles like yourself, we understand the importance of this. Chair, I mean, our evaluations show that the title deed process, the process of giving people tenure, has been one of the biggest and greatest successes of the housing program in terms of asset building creation, and we'll provide those reports. So Chair, yes, I understand exactly the marching orders you have given, and I think we've put that on the table, and at an appropriate time, I suppose, we minister will raise that issue, that this is her frustration, like it's your frustration and our frustration, and we're at idem around that. The issue is, Chair, the solution, as we've indicated, is give us a 5B grant. And we must be able to. Otherwise, Chair, we, you know, even where there are administrative issues, the lackadaisicalness around this is not, and it's an important program. It's not an expensive program in the bigger context of it, but it is one of those programs that's going to make a substantial, or does make a substantial, difference to people. Chair, in relation to Member Makos, the issue around accrual prints, I've indicated. Accruals are there, but I think the issue is that they must translate into numbers, and it's about work in progress, and I think we'll include those slides again to indicate what we're doing. Chair, on the issue around the Free State and the Eastern Cape, Chair, I've indicated the difference between those two. The Eastern Cape has got accruals, they're able to spend money, and they deliver numbers. On the Free State, on the other hand, they're able to spend money, but they're not able to translate that. And that's the issue, Chair, and I will give you a detailed report on that. Gauteng, Chair, we've got, I mean, in fact, we've given them, over the last 2 weeks, I think we've met with them about three or four times, trying to get this recovery plan in place. And they've submitted a business plan, and we're busy going through it. I can confirm, Chair, we have received the recovery plan from the Northwest. We have. That I can confirm. They did provide it as they indicated. In fact, they provided it on the day that they said they would. So I must confirm that. What we've indicated is that between themselves and us is to then look at the way in which we can reallocate some of that money, particularly to contractors that can occur, that can make a difference. In the case of Limpopo, the DG has met with the MEC. And one of the things that has come up is that in the case of Limpopo, it appears that there were contractors that were appointed that didn't have the capacity. Now, that's an issue that I think is a discussion that we will have to resolve with the provinces. And one of the things that we've said is that we're going to have to replace some of those contractors and assist the but that's an issue of that. Chair, I think that Chair, I'm almost done. Chair, I on the issue of the APP, and I think what one of the things that you'll see, Chair, one of the things that we made a commitment to this committee when we came here was we changed our APP to be consistent with what the provinces are saying and what's in there. And you'll see, Chair, thanks to the committee and I think even to the minister, the AGS the AG is now able to trace delivery across the provinces and across national, whereas before it wasn't able. So what we have in our APP must be reflected as a sum total of what the provinces are. So if Gauteng, if we say 90,000, then each of the provinces, if we aggregate it, has to add up to that 90,000. And some of the AG's findings have related to those differences. And I think it's a good thing because it means that we're able to account. Chair, it basically means that we've put our trust in the provinces. But as we've indicated, Chair, just on that, about 3 weeks ago, we had a discussion with the DG, and the DG said to us, maybe we're the problem as the National Department Management Team, that we're just too hands-on, we interfere too much. We do not have a good reputation, Chair, in a good sense, in the sense that we interfere, we ask questions, and all of that is there, Chair. But I want to give you the assurance, together with the committee, and we've given this assurance to Minister, that we're committed to make it work, irrespective of what the consequences are to us. So I think holding us accountable as officials is something that we're not going to shy away. And I just want to reiterate it, Chair. It's not about us coming here and being honest and saying, okay, if we're honest, the committee will accept it. No, we're not expecting it to do that. If we don't have the solutions, like on the title deed, I've indicated, if we get a 5B, and that's what Minister supports, and that's what is, because then you can then hold us accountable. If you give us a 5B or even a 6 in relation to the informal settlements upgrading, we'll be able to turn this around. And then those two important things, the title deeds and the informal settlements, I think, the communities out there would have some confidence in us. Chair, I'll just, the last 2 points on the catalytic projects, Chair, I will liaise with the Secretary so we can present that with the HDA, as well as the title deeds eradication, the entire process, including the funding. And we can do that sooner rather than later. Thanks. I'm not sure if the CFO may have to add something.
Thank you very much, with your permission. With all what has been said, I just need to add to some, and especially on the last point of the two schedules that we want National Treasury to give us permission on, converting from the 4 to the 5B and the 6 to the 5 to the 6B. The idea, Chair, has never indicated that there is an indirect grant that we shall manage ourselves. And we do know that the challenge of National Treasury is the fact that the capacity grant, or indirect as it is, if it doesn't get spent by ourselves, the money will have to revert back to National Treasury. So we are in a way where we capacitating ourselves such that when that gets approved, we are ready as a department, and we are ready, Chairperson, to absorb the two schedules in terms of the division of revenue. Talking about division of revenue, Chair, and I think it goes back to the processes that Neville has indicated to say they are so enormous that they take an approximate 3 months until the special gazette is finalized. And if a special gazette has not been signed off by the Honorable President himself, you are likely not to be able to transfer the money because it's an irregular and illegal process. So we are, and I think maybe what could be said to the committee is that we agreed that in this financial year we shall start as early as the first quarter to take money away from provinces. We've started that process, and I must indicate here that at the minute we presented some of the redirecting loan funds, but there were squabbles between the MECs. And hence, DG has already met with the MEC of Limpopo on this round, because Limpopo was among those that we wanted to take money away from them during the first quarter and redirect it to the other provinces. But in as far as metros are concerned, and I think when we wanted to take money, we were not taking money away from the metros, because the methodology or the dynamics of the USDGs are not allowing us at this present moment to redirect money to other metros, except when Treasury approved that, but it's a very difficult process to follow. The intention was to redirect the money to the same metro, but redirecting to the project that we feel that they are very much in line with the progress that we expect to use the targets as desired. But I must also indicate, Chair, and I do apologize that I sound like a teacher to students, accruals are payable. Whether we pay them in the previous financial year or this year, they tend to be payable because service providers have provided the services. And I think the point that the DDG has made is that in most instances they do yield targets. But the crux of the matter is that those targets are supposed to be belonging in the previous financial year. The challenge is that when we pay them in this year, they compromise the quality of the budget that we have for us to yield the targets that we desire to have in this year. But technically, we have to pay them. The problem, again, is results in the 30 days that encompasses not to pay them on time. But as you talk about the consequence management, and I would not touch much on the issue of the officials of the province because the issue is responsible. But the DG is responsible to hold the accounting officer of the province responsible because he is the transferring officer. But when it comes to officials, because it does not only lead to the HOD or the CEO of the institution, it also gets affected by our officials, of which, as Honorable Magabashe has indicated, the consequence management becomes very key, and all members have indicated to that. So in terms of the performance assessment, we can appoint and assess people that we won't be able to pay them the so-called bonuses that they would claim to have. So we'll pay them on the standard basis if they qualify for a notion grant. But on the issue of the service providers, because they also contribute to the failures in the system, we blacklist them. But still it doesn't end there, because then when you blacklist them, you take them out of the system, you cancel the contract, you have to reappoint others. So the process starts all over again. But I want to indicate that in terms of those promises and add that the bad performer, in fact, it compromises the methods and the systems that we have as a nation have put in place. Because we've got many structures that allow us to do oversight, allow us to review, allow us to meet with provinces. But the challenge at the same time is that when we get together with provinces, different stories get to be told. And different stories that get to be told differ from the business plan that we have approved as a department. So while we're becoming honest to the team, we also get some mishonesty and dishonesty from our provinces and our metros, so to speak. But I think that challenge, DG has actually noticed it, and then he's taking care of that, including the senior management that supports the DG. But I think in a nutshell, Chair, and before I even forget, we have also budgeted for the business case. We're working together with the GTEC and National Treasury for us to speed up the issue of the business case for the Human Development Development Bank to be in place. On just the technical, we do not encourage the overspending of the budget. We promote the effective cash flow management to metrics, including the department. And we would encourage at least when they overspend by 5%, it's within the range. But if it's 34%, it tells a story to say there's no effective cash flow management within our province and our metrics. But then in most of the time, we would definitely write a non-compliance matter, because if that money is spent and it's not there, it constitutes an unauthorized expenditure in terms of the law. But I think we can reconcile with that, but it does have an impact again, as we talk about accruals, which stands to be payable. That when we come back to the portfolio committee, when we present our audit report, we will provide the details of the difference between accruals, payable, there's a new notion of the transactional issue that we'll have to explain, just so that our members are on board with particular provisions that have been made within the spectrum of the AG and the accounting reporting. Chair, when we go to provinces, and as we had an oversight yesterday, we picked up that the plan that they provided to the oversight committee
are so thorough and realistic. So we stole those plans in a way. And where we are sitting with the team, we're going to reconcile our business plans that we have against the plans that they had provided to the oversight. That's the dishonesty that I'm talking about. Yeah, because when they present to the politicians, the honesty comes to reveal. But when they come to the department, there's that hidden business plan that they work on and the one that we work on. So those kinds of challenges would we experience. They have their own business plan, we have our own business plan that has been, but then we find a mismatch and in terms of the misalignment that we're talking about. And Chair, that's my take, and I think we do note, we shall provide information as requested. We've noted all the requirements, and I think that the breakdown of the issues of the title deed as requested by the honourable member. But the last one is the issue of the capacity, and I think we acknowledge the fact that we cannot at this point talk the issue of capacity because we've topsized the USDG by 3% for it, but some measures have been used of it. Even on the upscale of the 5% of the agencies, some provinces make use of it. But then there's also this challenge of effective management of staff that are permanent, because we tend to rely more on contractors than doing the work ourselves. So that kind of an alignment and a match needs to be taken, and that's the responsibility of myself, CDGs, and the HODs of the provinces, not the accounting officers of the metro. Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CFO and CDG. Mr. Chauk, is there anything you want to say about the bond? No, I'm told you. I'm just putting you on the spot. No, thank you for those responses. But I think honorable members will agree with me that when we come back from the recess, Gauteng and Limpopo must come to the portfolio. They have to. And when they come, they must come with their MEC stuff. We would like to see them in the earliest convenience. I think it's something that we can't delay anymore. As the department is intervening, let's also find out what their challenges are as they come to present. Thank you so much for that. I don't know, because the next item talks about the progress made on the property practitioner's bill, and I know that in your report, in the presentation, you've touched on it. I don't know if that was sufficient or there's more that you wanted to add.
Chair, that is all. I think in relation to that, we just didn't want to dish the executive and legislature, so once the
we'll wait
cabinet
until it comes back from the cabinet.
Yeah, no, cabinet will approve for it to be introduced. Okay. That's what we're requesting cabinet.
Okay. That's it. And the next, same with the next one, the SHAMDA, the home loans and mortgage disclosure amendment, is also waiting to be approved by the cabinet. Okay? That's the progress that is being made. But I think, so at the same time, what we need to do, we need to interface with the legal team of the parliament on the issue of this bill. Thank you so much, then. That takes us to the end of the interaction with the department. Okay. We can release you. Whilst we're dealing with the minutes, we don't want to keep you here, and Mr. Sarah, you can go with the understanding that when we see you again, Gauteng and the Limpopo will be here. It will be fireworks. Dizzy, thank you for coming back. You can go. Those that want to sit can sit. DG, one thing that we were very angry about is the issue of the catalytic project. You can go knowing that. You put it in your report when you know that it was never presented in this committee. And the minutes we are about to approve here, they're talking about those projects being
that item being withdrawn because the department wanted to update, and yet you put it in your account. So we're very upset. But bye-bye. Okay, the minutes, the first minutes are the minutes of the 23rd of May, where the department was updating us about the fourth quarter report and the progress on catalytic projects, which was withdrawn. The second item was progress report on catalytic projects, which was withdrawn because they were not ready. So those are the minutes. 23rd of May. Can we adopt? Another document?
I move for that we adopt the minutes.
Second that?
Second that, so there's nothing controversial.
Yes, thank you so much. The second ones were the 13th of June, where the department was presenting its business plan for Gauteng, and we had Gauteng and Northwest, I think, business plans, yeah, for Gauteng and Northwest. That was the 13th of June. Any mover? Honorable Nemezi, seconding? Honorable Pam. Thank you very much, honorable members. The last minute at the 20th of June, where the department, they were presenting the business plan for Free State and Eastern Cape. 13th of June, we were presenting the business plan for Eastern Cape and Free State. Any movement? Honorable Mezu, seconded by Honorable Katune. Those are the steps of minutes. Honorable members, we're going to the oversight of Mpumalanga on the 11th of September.